Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by a comedian and Chelsea fan, Omid Jalili, who was on Fine Form. He was telling us, amongst other things, about his new daytime quiz show that he's doing for ITV. Also, we brought you a bit of Don't Ask Me, as we always do, put Andy's memory to the test. You got involved with a fairly interesting and slightly risky cool topic of the day, looking for TV formats for somebody. And John Motson joined us and paid a lovely tribute to Ray Clements, who sadly died at the weekend. So we'll bring you all of that now.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And just going through my notes just before the show, you definitely can tell it's been an international weekend. I watched a mixture of women's football. So I watched Man City, good game, 2-2. The Chelsea-Arsenal game, the last 10 minutes, brilliant, very exciting. I discovered the Pakistani Super League on Channel 732, Hum Masala. More of that. It's such a brilliant, the coverage is like from 1970 or so. It's really brilliant.
Right, good.
And yeah, no, it was fun. And of course, the Masters, and as well as England. And we'll talk about the Masters later. I don't know. Look, it's Augusta, it was golf, it was great, but it wasn't the Masters for me. No flowers, no... The course wasn't the same. It just wasn't the... I don't know about it. I can't tell you what it was, but it just didn't grab me. I watched a lot of it, but it didn't grab me in the same way. Although I did... At 2-0, when England were 2-0 down, I turned over to the butler cabin for the presentation of the green jacket. Always a great moment in sport. I love that moment. Straight after Tiger put the jacket on Dustin Johnson, the presenter said, "It fits him well, doesn't it?" I thought, "Not really. He can't even do it up. What are you talking about?" You have a look at the papers. That's where he's holding it, like, and he's holding the buttons closed because it doesn't fit him at all.
Well, as we discovered last week, it's a generic cut. And the idea is that when you win it, you go and get it taken in and you get it tailored to suit your needs. But obviously, they don't know if it's going to be a short, fat bloke winning it or a very tall, thin bloke. So you have to get one that fits. It's everybody, so you end up looking like a coach driver. It's a bit of a weird look on some. He looked better than some have done in the past, really. So,
yes, I suppose that's true. Yeah. He'll probably have it let out. It would be fine. Mm. Butch Harmon's a fascinating commentator.
Yeah.
Some of the things he says are so... I just wrote down one, though. It says, somebody missed a shot. I think it was Justin Thomas. He had a poor day, and at the end of his... At the 18th, when he missed a putt, he went, "Some days you're the windscreen, and some days you're the bug."
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can see that. It's not a bad... It's quite an interesting...
He does sound more and more like Kermit the Frog. Have you noticed that as well? I think he really does. But I turned on the TV and I thought the Muppets were on, but it was the Masters.
He seemed to be behind the pictures. I don't know what was going on there, but it wasn't... Yes, but never mind. That's the way it was. And also, I've noticed when I was watching the cricket, I don't know why commentators do this. This batsman took the ball. It was a direct hit to his box, right in his middle stump, if you like. And the commentator went, "Oh, that struck him on the fleshy part of the thigh." You think, not really.
Is that what you call it, mate? Really?
I wouldn't call it that.
Yeah.
Definitely not. So, and then, of course, there was England, and you probably got some views on that, Paul, as well.
Well, we'll have a chat with Motty about it a little bit later on. But, I was thinking, like a lot of people at halftime, that Sancho was probably going to come on, or certainly within the first 10 minutes of the second half, that Sancho might get on there and Mount might have moved back. We were a bit predictable, but we had chances, didn't we? And you know, maybe it isn't as bad as everybody thought it was, but a bit more composure in the final third, and we might have got something out of it. But we were a bit wasteful in those areas, weren't we, unfortunately? But I'm sure Matty will give us his take on it later.
I only saw, I saw it up to 2-0, and then I came back at the 72nd minute, you know, because I watched Red Zone in between, because it was so much more exciting than the football. It really was. So, you know, but what can you do? So I just thought, all I thought about England was their final ball was so poor. Their build-up didn't look too bad, but, you know, it's difficult. So these games bear no resemblance to what we're going to see next summer. That's, you know, just... But except, you know, that Belgium will be quite a decent team.
It is great watching it. I mean, everybody, you know, everybody's been saying it. It's true. But it's just great to watch Grealish. It's great to have a kind of maverick footballer out there. I mean, until the point where he does a David Ginola and gives the ball away and we end up getting knocked out of a World Cup or something. We forgive mavericks anything, don't we? Because they're so rarely are they produced. You know, generally, England teams, round pegs go into round holes most of the time and everybody works for the benefit of the team. So to see a player emerge like that and get recognised, and for the England manager not to regard him as a liability, I think, after last night, and to say he was brilliant, he's going to be key to us. I mean, it's great to watch a player like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing I said before he picked him was, you know, he wins a lot of free kicks, which he did last night again. He's good for that. He buys you time, gets you up the pitch like that way. I thought he played really, really well. But, you know, it's hard without, you know, that system, without Rashford, without Sterling, it's, you know, I just cannot see the point of playing Mount in that position.
No.
For me, it's just not his position.
Well, I listened to Jamie O'Hara with Andy last week, and the point he made about Mount and Grealish with either Henderson or Rice holding. It's quite a nice idea with those front three. It looks a very attacking team, but at the moment, we seem to be pretty solid, well, most of the time. But we don't offer a great deal coming forward, so that doesn't particularly help. The Eric Dier ball that's kind of set up there. I've seen that ball a lot over the years. And, of course, so has Jan Vertonghen in training. So that's how he knew. To close Mount down because he knew where it was going.
He did.
So that was a bit unfortunate.
Can I just say, I now know the best way to send money to Pakistan. Thank you very much.
All right, so the coverage, I will go and check it out, Andy. It's a bit old school, the coverage, is it?
It's fun, You know, they have that Captain Pugwash type graphics that go along the bottom of the screen.
Oh, okay.
All that sort of thing. Yeah, it was fun.
What channel is it? I'll check it out.
Channel 732.
Channel 732, okay.
Right. Trouble is, it's right. I only discovered it on Saturday, and there were three games left. So there were two Saturday, one yesterday, and the finals tomorrow. So there you go.
Okay, I don't seem to be able to get it on my on the TV here in the studio. Maybe they've blocked it out. Okay. Oh, well, not to worry. I'll see if for some reason they've not bothered. Anyway, as we know, there was some sad news over the weekend. Two people have been guests on this show over the years. The great Ray Clements and Des O'Connor both passed away. Mm. And we were trying to track down an old chat we had with Des. He came in and saw us about, 10 years ago when he had a DVD of a lot of his old shows out. And we've not been able to track it down. We're going to see if we can find, because he talked about being a sort of youth player at Northampton. He loved his football and he was...
Yeah, we both really liked him. He was great,
wasn't he,
when he came in.
And everybody's been saying, it's interesting listening to Jim earlier on, everybody's not just been saying what a great player Ray Clements was, but what a lovely guy he was. And we've spoken to him a couple of times over the years on the show, and I sort of said hello to him once or twice, but back in the mid... 90s, I went to an FA, black tie FA do, and I was on Clem's table. And I'd never really met him before. And he was everything that people have been saying. It has really kind of rung a bell with me, because he was such a lovely guy. You know, often you meet famous people, especially a guy who'd achieved as much as he had. And, you know, there's acceptance sometimes with famous people that they think they're the planet and we're the satellites that kind of orbit them and it's all about them. But he wasn't like that. He was asking me about 90 minutes. He was chatting away. He was chatting to my wife who was there. And he was just a really lovely, approachable, friendly guy. And I was really sad to hear the news yesterday. And we had a little family story that comes from that night where Ray danced with my missus. And on the dance floor, she took a step back and stamped on the foot of someone. And I looked over to see it was Alex Ferguson. Got right down on the foot.
I thought you were going to say she fell to the floor, but Ray caught her.
No. He probably would have done. But Alex Ferguson didn't give her the hair dry. But no, a really lovely fan. Everything I've been hearing about him from his friends and everybody else was my experience as well. So such a shame.
And it's rare for a player to be a legend, and I mean a legend, with two clubs. And I think it was Crackers who put up a link to the footage of Ray Clements returning to Anfield for the first time. What a reception he got.
It's brilliant, amazing. It's just that also there's something about that shot, isn't it? Because all you can see, you can't really see the pitch. All you really see is just Ray running towards the crowd and the cop rising and singing England's number one. It's a brilliant bit of footage. And
he was a modest man because his record was incredible. Yeah. When you look at it, Stuart Pearce was right. When you look at what he actually won, he won everything there was to win in the club game.
And we had him for 6-7 years at the club, and maybe even slightly longer than that. He was absolutely fantastic for Spurs in his time there. So a great show. Motti will join us later on. Motti knew Clemwell, and he'll be giving us his memories as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We have a new king of daytime this afternoon. Omid Jalili's new daytime quiz, winning combination, gets underway on ITV, 3 o'clock. And he joins us now. Good afternoon, Omid.
Good afternoon. I love the way Andy was laughing because the idea of me doing a daytime show is just so ridiculous.
How did this all come about then? You just got the offer and you thought, why not?
I did an episode of Celebrity Chase that was shown recently. And then afterwards, the producers said, would you like to host one of these? I said, what do you mean one of these? Because it's the same people who made The Chase. They said, we're making a new one. And you'd just be a really offbeat choice, would you? And I said, nah, you got me joking. And I left it. And they really pursued me. They said, look, come and have a look at it. Come and have a look at it and see what you think. And I'm a bit of a quiz fan. I do like these shows. And what I want is just questions. And when I went to watch it, it was so question heavy. You get a lot of these shows where that they do a question and there's a lot of faffing about, and I think just get on with it. And this one was really, it was so much fun to do. And I just love the name Winning Combination. And I love the fact that we were doing it in lockdown, because even if you're trying to make it funny, the only audience you have are the 9 contestants, who the last thing they want to do is even listen to a joke. They don't care, because I'd say to them, I said, look, let's, it's COVID, there's no studio audience. If I do a joke, please just laugh or something. And I said, I'll give you an example. And you both know this joke. It's a proper comedian's joke. And I said, you only do a daytime quiz show twice in your career, once on the way up, once on the way down. It's great to be back. And then stared at me blankly. I said, okay. I don't remember the first. When was you on? That's the beauty, boys. I swear to God, you will love this show, because the beauty is I'm constantly doing jokes and they cut to their faces looking blank. And there's no, like, I'll say, welcome back after the break. For those of you playing along at home, the last question, if you got feta cheese, you were wrong. The answer was Esther Ransom. And then cut someone just looking up at the board waiting for the next question.
Nothing, so, giving you nothing.
Absolutely nothing. That's what makes fun. I think comics at home will be watching this, laughing their heads off. These are quite good gags, but he's getting nothing. That's great. It's good. It'll be a good watch.
Excellent.
Now, Omid, what's the mechanic of this game show? What's the idea behind it?
Oh, you're breaking up. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you now. Andy, I mean, we just lost Andy. He was saying, what's the mechanic? How does the game work?
Yeah, the way it works, everyone has a number between 1 and 9, and then you've got to battle. You've got to fight each other to get into what's called a four-number combination. So if you're a number 9, you want to get into the combination and be in the thousands. If you're a low number, like 1 or 2, you want to be in the tens or the units. So what the people who battle into the combination, then they work together to make the number that they'll win and share. And it's such a low. They actually, although they make such a low amount of money, it's still more than what I was paid for the show. Because as you know, daytime is very little. But the thing is, that's what I love about the show. They get to take home, like, they probably, if you're lucky, they'll go home with 500 quid each or something.
Yeah.
But they're so happy because it's such a difficult game to win for quizzes. There's a purity to the whole game. And it's just like the joy of quiz. It's like a pub quiz. So there's people, you know how you enjoy a quiz with mates? That's the idea. It's very much people just having fun to for very low stakes. And that's why I love it. It's very pure.
I mean, if it does take off, look at, you know, Pointless or The Chase or shows like that, Tipping Point, you know, if they do take off, that's you could end up doing about sort of 60 of these a year. Probably
oh, my
more.
God, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, though. I did enjoy, you know, when, you know, to be all, I know you guys like to get philosophical. As Marcel Proust once said.
Yeah.
Not Alan Proust.
Yeah.
Probably the one driver. But Marcel Proust says you always end up doing the thing that you're second best at. And you've got to keep trying something. If you told me 2 years ago, would you be doing a quiz show? I said, yeah, you've got to be joking. But I have to say, I really enjoyed it. And when it finished, I said, is that it? Because we've done 20 episodes and they'll go out every day at 3 o'clock on ITV. I said, is that it? I said, you're done. And I think, oh, I really enjoyed that. I'd love to do more because it was really, quizzing is just brilliant. It's just, and what it is, the way the brain works is if you do University Challenge, you'll give yourself 10 points if you even understand the question. You know, you won't, like I told you once, I shouted out Shakespeare and the answer was nitrogen. So it's impossible. But your brain isn't working then. Your brain works if you know the answer and you bring it to the front of the mouth. So the questions in this quiz are purposefully, they're not all completely easy, but you'll probably watch it and think, I know the answers. And if you play along, you're actually working your brain. And I'll never forget, last week I heard about the death of the guy in America, Alex Trebek, who did Jeopardy for 40 years. And he said it was a real honour to do it because what he was doing was raising the general knowledge of a country.
Mm.
So people would come in and they'd learn things. If you didn't know the answer, if you couldn't work your brain, at least you learned something. So in that sense, as a service to the nation, he was so loved. Because people genuinely learnt more and they've got into quizzing. So I'm hoping this will be something that will, you know, get people involved, get them into quizzing and get them, you know, just broadening their general knowledge.
Obinja Lily's with us. We'll chat more. We'll talk a bit of football and more in a moment. You can see Winning Combination from this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Obviously record it, watch it later after we've finished. And we'll talk more in a moment.
I'll be watching it.
Yeah, cheers, Dan. You probably will be. What with that in the Pakistan Super League? I'll be surprised you're still listening to me. And we'll also play your little clip that we played a couple of weeks back from the overnight show on TalkSport, where there was a guest on who sounded just like Omid. That's coming up shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Comedian Omid Jalili with us. He's going to be the host of Winning Combination. Starts today, as every weekday at 3 p.m. on ITV. Before we chat more to him, this is a clip we played you the other day from Extra Time with Paul Ross overnight. And he had a guest on and we thought, was that really the guest or was that Omid Jalili? Listen to this.
Nilakanta Banu Prakash has won India's first ever gold in the Mental Calculation World Championships. And I'm delighted to say Nilakanta joins us now live. Nilakanta, what did you actually have to do in the competition? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Hey.
Now, was that you, Omid? That was sensational. He's India's foremost Omid Jalili impersonator.
Absolutely nothing like me. Just he just went, hey. How is that?
Well, we thought it was.
We weren't alone. We said, hey. I don't know, but just something about that. You didn't think it sounded like you?
Well, the thing is that I get mistaken for Stavros Blatley a lot. And I thought, well, I wonder, I was always looking forward to meeting him. So I met him. I said, do you know I get recognised for you a lot? He goes, we do look like each other. And I said, do you ever get recognised for me? And he went, sorry, I don't know, who are you? Didn't even know who I was or anything.
Oh, so dear.
I'm used to people comparing me to other kind of overweight, bald blokes. But as a voice, I was really... Because nobody's ever taken the mickey out of me. No one's ever done the impersonation of me. Mm. I've never thought I had that kind of distinct voice. But I was really looking forward to this. And that was just someone going, hey, it could be anyone.
We'll clip the end of it and we'll just play that bit again to see. Maybe it's just us. If the listeners think otherwise, they can let us know.
Omid, I was looking at your Instagram and you put up a clip from Winning Combination, which starts this afternoon. And I don't know if you're aware that Ali Ross has a section in his TV column. It's called Unexpected Morons in the Bagging Area. It's basically people who give mad answers to quiz questions. And the one that you did, which German city gave its name to perfume, I thought was very amusing.
Oh, that's very... Do you know what? They've saved the best ones for coming out. I mean, the best one to me was when I said... who played James Bond in Quantum of Solace. And it was the way the woman, she slapped a thing. She just went, Craig David. And I just thought that was great. It's the conviction when they slap the kind of button. And that's, I mean, there were so many things like that. I mean, there was some of them where I try not to laugh. That one, when he said, which German city is also, you know, a liquid perfume, and he said Chanel. It was actually cologne. You see me trying not to laugh, but some of them, you just ask them a question, and I lost it completely. I don't know if they've kept it in, but there's lots of moments where I lose it completely because the answers. I mean, literally, this is a show where you could be at home, you could be ironing, making dinner, be on a, you know, host a Zoom even, keep an eye on it. You'll still get more answers correct than somebody can say.
Have you got a catchphrase on it? Have you got an Anne Robinson like, you're the weakest link, goodbye?
Yes, I do. It's all like, see you next week.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Okay, that's quite distinctive.
It's the pause. It's just the pause. Actually, do you know what? I've built in a few catchphrases. I mean, one of them is, you know, where she says the weakest link, goodbye.
Yeah.
And I said, so you and you know, when I dismiss people, I do my best, Brian Blessed. I said, he says, you could, you know, take your number and get out. And then there's the goodbye. There's a few catchphrases that we're hoping people will kind of look forward to, but nah, not really.
Okay.
It's fundamentally just a quiz show. It's the purest quiz show you'll see on telly.
Good stuff.
Of course, there was quite a lot of stuff in the Sunday papers yesterday about the show, and I was reading a little thing that you did in one of the Sunday papers where you were asked your most memorable TV moment, and I didn't know this, that it was achieving what Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo couldn't, to score against a robotic goalkeeper designed never to be beaten, caught live on The One Show.
Yeah. No, we talked to him about it. That's why we do Don't Ask Me every Friday, Andy. Yeah, because Henry's been in touch, one of the listeners. He says, Omid, comedy legend, and also scored the best penalty I've ever seen, versus the Robo Keeper. So yeah, well, I think we did talk about this. You were the only one who scored it, weren't you?
I am the only. And do you know what, I have to say this, boys, you know, from a football perspective, this is one of the greatest televisual moments that nobody talks about. And I'll tell you why they don't talk about it, because when it happened and when it was put out on a Vimeo link, and people like John Bishop, Gary Lineker, people with millions of followers said, this is unbelievable. And those Vimeo links from when this happened around 2014, they could only hold 50,000 views. So it crashed within an hour. It went viral, then it crashed. And then I didn't know it had crashed, so I tweeted it again. And I very, you know, obsequiously was begging people like Gary Lineker, please tweet it again. And they just blanked me. And I think it's one of those moments where it is so incredible that you can't actually comprehend. So you don't even acknowledge what's happened. What's happened is the RoboKeeper is there to block anything. And it's computerized to look at the eye movement and the foot movement. So it actually anticipates where you're going to kick the ball. So Lionel Messi, you can see, if you go on the clip, I mean, Lionel Messi, you can't score because it's there. It's already moved where he's shot. And then when they said, have a go, I said, what's this? You're just going to humiliate me. And for some reason, someone took a practice shot and I saw it move to the right and I saw a tiny gap and I said, is that a gap? And then they said, yeah, we've left it just for you. We've left it like there's literally 5 inches. We put it to the right. So if you go top left, there is enough space for the ball, but literally a millimeter each side. There's enough. If you get it top left perfectly, it'll go in. So at least I knew. I thought if I tried, so I did it and it went in. And if you see my reaction, I go bananas. And the thing was, nobody, when I got home, I said to my family, well, what do you think of that? They said, well, it's really inappropriate, your reaction. I said, why? You look like you're in a children's play area. I did what Messi did and what Ronaldo couldn't do. I remember my wife saying, this is really inappropriate for a fat middle-aged bloke thinking he could be one of the greatest footballers. And they completely blanked me. Everybody blanked me. But if you watch it, it is one of the greatest televisual moments. But, you know, but that's me on social media. You know, I'll even tweet a latest DVD. I'd say, here's my latest DVD, Fill Your Boots. And there'll be literally 2 hours later, no retweets, no likes, one comment that says, I'd rather kill myself. I'll retweet that and I'll get 800. That's
brilliant.
Oh dear!
It is on YouTube. I've just looked at it. I've just seen it. It was a fine shot. You're right. There was a gap, and you just put it in the corner. Brilliant.
Yeah.
If you look at it, Andy, it's actually there as I've kicked it. So it's as I've made connection with the ball, it's already in position to stop it. It's amazing. It's so microscopic, but it goes in that tiny spot. So it's. I mean, look, it was a bit of a fluke. But you got to have a good left peg on you to actually get it up there. So I'm very proud of it. But, you know, it's one of the most untalked about things. I urge everyone to go on YouTube, just tap in on my RoboKeeper.
It was on the One Show, wasn't it? I'm looking at it now. I mean, it was Alex Jones and Richard Madeley were in the seat there that particular evening, I think. Or maybe they just relived it on that. But
It was amazing. And if seriously, but, you know, I'm sure if I tweet it, every time I tweet it, I lose followers. Oh, there we go. There he goes, going on about this nonsense.
Showing off again. So I take it you'll be looking at, longing to get back to a live stand-up. You do a lot of touring, a lot of gigs, so fingers crossed it won't be too long now. We have a vaccine on the horizon.
Well, do you know what? I mean, I've done a couple of gigs. I did a gig up at Newcastle where it was interesting. There was only 95 people allowed in, but the audience had to wear visors, you know, those plastic visors. And I swear it looked like a welding and soldering conference. And then you're like, how about this for a heckle? I did a driving gig. And, you know, we're not a drive-in audience in the UK at all. And you know, we talked about this. I think, Andy, you said if someone heckles you, it must be they can walk out, but people do like a three-point turn. How about this? Somebody got out of his car. That is the best heckle I've ever had.
Oh, dear me.
Don't try that at home, by the way.
No, absolutely not.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
So, are you a golf fan, Omid? Did you check any of the Masters out? Is that something that interests you?
Not really. I did a bit of golfing on my the Omid Jalili show. It was a running gag. It was a running gag of this Arab who golfs and he's in a bunker and he can't hit the ball. Then he strikes gold. He strikes oil. And every time he wants to bet on a horse, it's all rubbish. And he just said, you might as well just shut your eyes and, you know, put your pen in, and he hits the pen in the newspaper and oil starts coming out. I do like craze, but I'm not a massive golf fan. But I did watch the England game yesterday. Wasn't Jack Grealish. I thought Jack Grealish was brilliant. That was the one good thing. Yeah. I think you were mentioning it's so exciting to finally see a player who's got skill and things you can get, sit on the edge of your seat. We've been missing that for years, actually.
Yeah.
A really exciting England midfielder. I loved it. It was great to watch him.
I think a lot of players have it coached out of a moment as they come through. You probably, there have been other Maverick players, if they want to get regular game time as they come through. You want, I'm sure coaches said, look, we want an element of that, but we don't want you losing the ball in key areas. You know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. So by the time they do make it to the top, a lot of that has been coached out of them, but he seems to have retained it.
They did that with Gascoigne. I remember being very excited by those of us who remember Gascoigne when he was 18 or 19 playing for Newcastle. You just saw him get the ball, he'd run, and he'd score these amazing goals, left foot, right foot. And I remember all that stuff, Bobby Robson saying he's daft as a brush. But he kind of like ignored Bobby Robson and just carried on playing in the same way. And then I think it was probably Lazio. I think he got injured at Lazio, but then they were trying to get him to play a bit more defensively, but he still often scored like brilliant goals. I think it's true. I've seen that with my own eyes, a player who can like who run through. I've seen it coach. I've seen kids 9, 10 beat players and now listen, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You've got to pass. And it's a shame actually. And I love to see, you know, that little flick Grealish did. Wonderful. And then Meunier still tried to kick him. I thought that was a red card. How was that not a red card? He still kicked him in the chest. Had he gone down, he would have got a red card. I love that. I love that. You can still get kicked and carry on. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, Ahmed, we're out of time. Love you. So just one more time. We're going to play that guy's voice. Let's see what the listeners think. Here we go.
Go on, play. Let's hear it.
Neil Cantor, what did you actually have to do in the competition? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Hey.
Come on. I'd say that was you.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, good morning. Hey.
There we are.
Which one was that?
I was expecting a bit more, but actually, the thing is, what gets on my nerves when people like make big noises, they think it's me. But actually, he's got the same timbre, the same kind of voice as me. Yeah.
Could you give us a good morning hi in that style now, possibly?
Good morning. Hey.
Okay.
Good morning. Hey.
Terry, I look. It's right back at you. Fantastic.
This is what it's come to. The sports radio is me going, good morning. Hey. Yeah.
Good to talk to you, Ahmed. All the best with the new show. Okay. Thanks very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Joining us now to talk England and more is John Motson. Good afternoon, Motty.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Andy.
Yeah, good to talk to you as always. I found a picture online earlier on of you and Ray Clements. I mean, both looking very fresh-faced. I'd say this must be about 75, 76. You've got the headphones on, the microphone, and you're obviously just about or have just interviewed him. Does that picture ring a bell, John?
Well, it does. And what also rings a bell is the fact that I worked with Ray when he was a summariser on Radio 5 Live. We did a lot of matches together. He was more concerned with that, and I was doing the commentary for Match of the Day. But my goodness me, we used to travel on the plane with England, because in those days the media were allowed on the same flight as the players. And I can only say that Ray was like a social secretary. He was engaging, he was effusive, he was enlivened. And if you wanted to play cards or you wanted a drink, he would sort it out for you at the back of the plane. He was that kind of fella, larger than life. And I remember when I was on holiday with my wife in Guernsey a few years ago, he and his family came to our hotel to have a swim. Steve and his son, who of course is the coach at Newcastle United, his two daughters and his wife, Fee. And well, I can only say he was the life and soul of the party. I think you're getting my message.
Absolutely.
There was nobody quite like Ray. If you want to know more about his career, there are obituaries and tributes flooding the papers today. Jim White in the Telegraph Sport has summed up his career beautifully. And frankly, with so many other famous England players leaving us recently, you know, the Nobby Stiles and the Jack Charltons, it is a sad loss. It really is. But my word, what a fella. And just one fact for you. He played 336 consecutive games for Liverpool in one spell in the late 70s. And when he moved to Tottenham, I spoke to him the morning he joined Spurs, and he was just absolutely excited and thrilled about the fact that he was now facing another career. And indeed he did. I can't speak any more highly of the man who just brightened up everywhere you went. And I'll tell you something else. He was one of those people, when you'd been in his presence, you felt better after you left.
Well, that's some legacy, John. That's lovely. Thanks very much for sharing that with us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We want to get the listeners going on something here, and I'm slightly loath to do it, but it's TV formats for someone. I didn't really know. I've never watched Tiger King. I tried to, and I got halfway through, and I thought, even in lockdown, life was too short. I know people love it. Maybe everybody tells me to give it another go, but I did try. But I didn't realise that... Joe Exotic's partner it was in the news today, and it's somebody called Dylan Passage. Really? And I thought, well, I mean, if Dylan, I'm sure with the success of Tiger King, Dylan doesn't need any TV formats. But if he did, I mean, as I say, I'm quite loath to say it, because all I've got at the moment is his chat show that he does with the former England flanker and World Cup winner Neil Back. So, I just can't see it getting made.
I've got, of course, his review of the IPL, Passage to India.
That's very good. Well, look, as clean as you can keep it, we'll send them on to Dylan and Joe. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. You can give us some of your suggestions in the next hour of the show for Joe Exotic Squeeze, Dylan Passage.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, I mentioned earlier on Dylan Passage, the partner of Joe Exotic from Tiger King. He does fancy some TV formats, and we were slightly worried, of course, that most of them weren't broadcastable. And actually, still some of them aren't, as I look at the screen. But... Rite of Passage, it's quite a nice one from Mark Carter. Ian Wright and Dylan Passage look back through the years as former England managers and their reason for being relieved of their duties. I could see that, couldn't you? That would take off as a show. It's quite a nice
good
one.
To me.
Underground Passage, Dylan takes a trip on the subterranean transport systems of the world, says Gab Cancello. There we are. So keep those coming. We'll see if we can find him some TV work amongst all the other TV work he's probably got already. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Anything you want to share with the class?
Yeah, I'm interested. You mentioned the track and trace there, and Piers Morgan, you see this thing, he's very unhappy with Gareth Southgate because he says that he was with Gareth 3 days before Gareth tested positive, and he wasn't told about it. And it is odd that you'd think that if he was with him and basically Gareth had it and would have entered his details, wonder why it didn't ping him. You just don't know.
Well, Gareth doesn't strike me as the kind of man that would openly flout the rules, so I don't quite know what's happened with that timeline. So I'm sure he'll want to come back and explain all at some point. The Masters, Andy, some of the standouts from the Masters, and there was an awful lot of talk about Bryson DeChambeau and the fact it didn't really go well for him, but he didn't leave empty-handed, as is in the case of all great quiz shows, because he, I think one of the holes he did rather well, was it the he won himself, what hole was it? I can't remember what it was now. But he
would have been a par five.
It probably obviously was. Yes, right. He's won himself. Did he get an? He got an eagle on one of the holes, didn't he? That's right. He got an eagle on one of the holes.
That's how you get it.
Yeah, that's right. And he won himself a set of crystal glasses with the eagle. And I was thinking, not much of a consolation, is it? He sounded like really chuffed to have got it, but it did feel like it was a bit like he'd been on bullseye. And on hole six, you won't go far wrong with his set of crystal glasses, you know. And if he'd got an albatross, he said, on hole five, what a fantastic prize for you and the Mrs. Bryson. Yes, it's the his and hers bathrobes. It did feel a bit bullseye, didn't it? A couple of glasses, but he seemed very happy with them.
It's true. I don't know if you've seen this show on Netflix. It's called Queen's Gambit.
I've heard a lot of good things. People tell me it's very good.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's all about chess. And, it's well worth watching. I recommend that. I very much enjoyed it over the weekend.
I will check it out. Yeah.
Alan Clark, the former Leeds striker, he was talking about England caps, and he said, this is a classic, really. He said, my only regret during my career is I should have won more than 19 caps, but I was asked by Leeds manager Don Revie to stand down from three lines duty many times due to an injury. So it shows you, I bet he didn't do that when he was managing England, though. Yeah. But it shows you that he's not the first or last manager to do that, of course.
No, indeed.
A lot of the club managers do. Nando's Chicken something very popular with footballers, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Is Britain's favourite takeaway.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, especially at 7 p.m. on a Sunday, which I thought was very specific, really.
Yeah.
Seemed quite odd that it was very specific.
Has anybody ever had a Nando's at 7 o'clock on a Sunday, Andy? Or do you think maybe does it ring true to you?
No. And I was telling the producer this morning, he's a big Torquay fan, that for some reason, I don't know whether... Because normally all the lower league games in the Daily Star are covered with what we call boss watch. So they're like little, tiny little paragraphs saying, boss Gary Johnson said this and the other boss said that, you know. Blah, blah. But with Torquay, they're getting a match report every week. I can't quite work out why, but I don't know if the bloke, the sports editor, is a Torquay, fellow Torquay fan.
Well,
it was quite good to read about it. They had a fine, well, it was a 1-1 draw. It could be costly at the end of the season, said Gary Johnson. So who knows?
There was a sensational tweet from Will Carling earlier on. I don't know if you saw this. He's involved in the England setup. He's still working with the squad these days. And he said he was on his way to England camp and he stopped to fill up his car. A man at the other pump looked him up and down. He was in full England kit and he said, "Bit sad, Will, mate. Move on. It's over." Like it reminded me of this fascination you always have with the Gamesmakers outfits.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At London 2012. And how often...
the Volunteers.
Yeah, often 5 or 6 years later, you'd still see someone walking around in their Gamesmakers outfit. So
there'll be someone walking around today wearing it, no question about it. Yeah. So also yesterday illustrated why Lewis Hamilton is so great and why Bottas really isn't all that. Well, it's true. They both people go, "Oh, he's got the best car," but basically he's got the same car as Bottas, who managed to spin it 12 times yesterday in those conditions.
Yeah.
So it does show you what a brilliant, brilliant driver he is. It was a good interview with Jim with his dad. It was interesting to hear from him.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
No wonder he's so grounded. So that was good.
A bit of a shock this weekend, Andy. I was reading an interview in the papers at the weekend with Nigel Clough, and before he got back in, he said that he wrote applying for a number of jobs, 5 or 6 jobs in the championship. He sent letters in for. He said, "I applied for those," and he said, "I didn't get any interviews or replies." Or replies. Not even a "Dear Nigel, thank you for your interest. You're not what we're looking for at the moment." He didn't even get a reply. I mean, he's not some waster. The bloke's been managing in football for years. He said, "I wasn't surprised. That's the way some clubs operate." But, you know, whether it's Nigel Clough or me or you, we've talked about this before. We used to speak to a TalkSport listener who had a whole folder of about 200 letters when he'd applied for managers' jobs. And, yeah, didn't have a prayer, but I think he just liked the thrill of getting a letter back from the club saying, you know, the job has gone to somebody else. Once or twice a club would come back and actually write him a personal letter saying, "Your experience on Football Manager isn't quite what we're looking for." This was a long time ago. But he kept them all in a folder and he remembered the clubs that had been nice and the ones. But most of them sent back a stock letter. And this is for a TalkSport listener who's just having a bit of a laugh.
Was Nigel Raj Clough, Tunville?
That's Raj Tunville, that was it. Nigel Clough should get a letter back from clubs. Shame on them, really, that they can't even write back to him. Or if they don't, they should write back to everybody, even if it's thanks but no thanks. Anyway, I feel better now.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got it off the chest. I was reading about this incredible story. Hopefully we might do this story in more detail, but a Belgian racing pigeon has sold for a record 1.6 million euros. That's like more than a racehorse. That's more than Duvan's brother, who we're going to speak to Rupert about.
I was going to say we're going to speak to Duvan's brother in the Mr. Ed styling. Yeah.
No, it's an incredible amount of money. I said to the producer, what happens if he flies off? Yeah. Say he flies to, they release him and he flies to Trafalgar Square and he meets a mate.
It's the way it works in the world of homing pigeons. We need John Day. We'll get him on this week. We'll speak to the excellent author of the book Homing, and he'll put us on. Do occasionally top racing 1.6 million just flies over Trafalgar Square, goes aye aye, and then just flies down, and that's it, and they live together. I don't know if they're like swans. Maybe their pigeons are like swans. 08717 223 344 if you can shed a bit of light on that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We mentioned earlier on Joe Exotic's partner, Dylan Passage. We need some TV formats for him. Work your passage, Andy Smart says, our old mate. Dylan tours the world on tramp steamers. I'd watch that. I can see that on Discovery, Andy. How about a TV series where Dylan wanders the world's herb fields in a passage through time? Yeah, T-H-Y-M-E, obviously, Reading. Yeah. Northwest Passage. Roy North, Kanye West and Dylan Passage undertake a grueling trip to the Arctic, accompanied by Mr. Roy's pal Basil Brush. Colin, I would watch that. And, of course, Scott, the Leeds fan, heard us talking about a racing pigeon selling for $1.3 million. And, of course, Scott says, that's quite a coup. Sounds like one of yours, that gag, Andy. Does, thank you, Scott. Really thanks for all of those.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
Here we go, then. Five questions on last week's shows. Has self-isolation improved Andy's memory? Let's find out. On Friday, Andy, we spoke to which former top legendary women's footballer about a big weekend of WSL action?
Kelly Smith,
yeah, Arsenal and England, of course. Then on Thursday, we spoke to Al Greenwood, the drummer from the band Sports Team, about her love of football. Which football team does she support? She talks a lot about
Manchester United.
Well done. Well, you kind of hesitating to add a bit of drama to it?
No, I wasn't sure whether it was City or United. I couldn't remember, but I'm plump for
you. We spoke to a playwright and a former Sunderland player on Wednesday about a play about the Sunderland player. What was the name of the footballer? We even had a cool subject about it.
I've got it.
Damn.
Max has got it. He's gone full Durham on you. He's laughing at you.
Oh, golly gee whiz.
Cool subject, no? How are you? For the fridge freezer.
Sorry, I can't remember.
David Corner. Max was there.
Corner.
It's 2-1 and I wasn't even here, Andy.
We spoke to Mark Bentley, the manager of which Essex Football Club, about their draw in the second round. Can you remember who the team were?
Canby Island,
just down the road from Southend, of course. And
Corner's going to do for
why
me.
Did we speak to Bill Ribbons? Bill Ribbons on Monday.
He's a well-known surgeon. He's operated on many sports stars and he's written a book. And David Corner did me in there. I would have got them all.
There's normally one. Unlucky. It was a good effort. It was a guy. I thought you'd actually sharpened up in the last. You should stay at home. Protect the NHS and yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Pretty decent effort by Andy. And don't ask me. Just David Corner was the difference between victory and defeat. But we will catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.